Welcome back to Logical, where we untangle the legal knots so that you don't have to. I'm Ludmila Malova, a U.S. qualified lawyer based in Dubai. And in each episode, we decode the laws that shape everyday life in the UAE. Today, we're talking about a step that every expat must go through, but that's often underestimated or misunderstood, and that is the mandatory medical examination as part of the UAE's residency visa process. Because in the UAE, obtaining a residence visa is not just about filling out forms. It also involves a set of legal and procedural requirements, one of which is providing that you are medically fit in accordance with the UAE law. And importantly, the residency process is Emirate specific. This means your residency application is filed in the Emirate where you intend to live or work. And in practice, some of the medical requirements may be applied slightly differently from one Emirate to another. So now let's dive into the legal framework that governs the medical fitness or unfitness for that matter in connection with the UAE residency process for all those who want to come and live in the UAE. So importantly, the requirements I'm going to discuss today, they apply for those who want or who seek residency into the UAE, not for tourists. And there's a big difference because some countries, just for the purposes of applying for a visa, for example, a tourist visa, they have their own list of medical requirements and medical tests that they need to go through before they are granted a visa. The discussion today will be focused specifically on residents and those who are seeking UAE visa to stay and live in the UAE, which means that the requirements we're going to discuss today do not apply to tourists or those who are coming into the UAE on visit visas. Okay, with regards to the legal framework, the initial law that set out the requirement for all expats to undergo medical health check as part of their visa application was first set out in the Cabinet Resolution Number 7 of 2008. And that is the full title of it. That's the Cabinet Resolution Number 7 of 2008 concerning the medical examination system of expats coming to the state for work or residency. And so, by the way, this is the law. It's not a very lengthy law. And so although the law, as you might have picked up, is dated 2008, these few pages that I'm holding here today, they incorporate the amendments that have taken place since then. So the law is, original law is 2008, but it has been amended to an extent, but all of those amendments are incorporated here. So in other words, there's no newer law, but that's not to say that the law has not been updated in the last few years. It has been. So what we are discussing today is what is currently the governing structure legal framework for all those who wish to come into the UAE, apply for the residence visa, and will have to go through, among other things, a medical examination. Perhaps just in very simple terms, as part of the application for UAE residency, and that, by the way, does not matter whether it's as an employee coming in here on employment visa or if you are dependent being sponsored by someone else, be it a family member or your spouse, or if you're applying for a golden visa, which many of you by now would have heard and learned a lot about. Any type of residence visa, each one of those is just a form of residence visa. And so each one of those applications requires medical fitness test. And so, in other words, as part of the application, you submit the forms, and at some point, one of the steps is that you go to specific centers, and you apply and you do the tests that are required to be done as part of the application. The convenient thing is by now, especially with all this, the digital systems and the UAE embracing the smart government, all of these authorities are now sort of collaborate together, and they have a centralized system. So whenever you go to this medical facility, that test is not communicated directly to the immigration facility, so you don't need to necessarily take the printout of your results and then go to a different center, as was the case before. So now it's all very much integrated and very much sort of technologically advanced. But the condition or the requirement remains the same. That is, that as part of your residency application, you go and you undergo a medical test. Now, what's involved in that? There's always depends on. So there is a few factors that that vary. So or determine what sort of the full profile of medical tests that you need to go through, and that's ultimately the job that you're applying for, and or I guess the purpose of your application, whether you're applying to as an employment visa, or for example, if it's a golden visa, or if it's a dependent visa. So that kind of profile or your initial purpose of your application will determine the medical, the full medical profile in terms of what tests are going to be taken. So in terms of medical screening, that's basically what determines. But there's always a blood test, and in most cases, that's kind of where it ends. Sometimes, for certain cases in certain professions, there's also an X-ray, and sometimes for certain again for certain professions, there's maybe a urine test. But basically, those are kind of the three main components: blood test, X-ray test, and urine test. But again, depends. The last two depend on what position you're applying for. But at a high level, there are certain medical conditions that disqualify one from obtaining a residence visa in the UAE. And that is determined in particular or set out in Article 2 of the resolution, and this is the resolution I mentioned, and it outlines several conditions. So one is HIV or AIDS. Two is tuberculosis or TB. Three is hepatitis B and C for specific job categories. Then it's leprosy, syphilis, and also pregnancy in case of a certain type of employees. And we'll dive into this throughout this discussion in more details. So those are the medical conditions ultimately that perhaps like the full profile of medical screening that one could potentially be subject to as part of their UAE visa application process. So let's start with HIV or AIDS. And just at the outside, that's an absolute bar to residency. So if one has tested positive to any sort of form of HIV or AIDS under Article 2.1 of this law, that basically disqualifies that expat from applying or proceeding further with the UAE application process. And it's a fairly detailed article, to be honest with you. It's titled as plainly as I just said, examination for AIDS. It's pretty unequivocal that if one tests positive for HIV, the residency will not be granted, and there are no exemptions and no option for appeal or a treatment plan within the UAE for purposes of residency. Now, let me share one case study with you because this is also important that this applies not only to those who are applying for the UAE for the first time, but also those who might have been long-term residents in the UAE, but they are renewing their residency. And that, by the way, is another important add-on is that every time one renews a residency, they still have to undergo medical screening again. And so somebody might have been here for 20 years, but every time their visa expires and they apply for a new one, they need to go through the same sort of same process of going through the medical center, doing a medical test, and receiving that medical result, and ultimately certification that would clear them to proceed with their residency application further. So why I want to pause there for a second, and that's because we had a case years ago, but not much has changed since then, is that of not exactly involved what I just mentioned. It was a long-term resident who had lived in the UAE, I think, for decades, and ultimately, for all intents and purposes, they might have even grown up here. And they had family, they had assets, they had properties, they were well-employed and at a pretty senior position, and so kind of had their roots quite deep in the country. And at one of these, fast forward several decades, they went for a renewal of their residency visa, and lo and behold, ended up being tested positive for HIV. So, and in cases like this, it's not necessarily that, you know, you receive a certificate that screams you're HIV positive. It's just that your application, you don't get the certificate, the medical certificate issued to you as it would be issued in ordinary course of business. Instead, you get a call from the authorities And the authorities could be immigration, could be sometimes, it could be the medical center, it could sometimes be the police as well. So in this case, and that was a few years ago now, the client was called by the authorities and they were told that they would not qualify for visa renewal. And ultimately, they were told by the authorities that it's because they tested positive for HIV. What obviously that was quite a distressing distressing process for the client, because they had, for all intents and purposes, the UAE was their place of residence and their home. And not only could they not apply for renewal, but they had to leave the country. So, and that's important, is that anyone who is sort of the system here in the UAE registered them as being HIV positive, that there is that they're basically in simple terms placed, if for lack of a better word, a blacklist. And that is which results in deportation. And the deportation, in simple terms, means that the person is no longer welcomed into the UAE. So they're not welcomed into the UAE, not simply as a resident, but they're not welcomed in the UAE even as a tourist. So in this person's case, that was basically what ended up happening, is that they were given X amount of time to close down their affairs in the country, sell the assets and properties if that's what they wanted to do, but with a very clear message that they had X number of days, I think, and that was 30 days to ultimately leave the country. And as they would be leaving the country, they were told that they would have the sort of the facial scan and the eye scan, which, you know, in simple terms, means that results in the permanent ban. And we looked at the time at different options as to whether there's a way to appeal it, depending on the type of infection it was. But at the end of the day, there was the law is pretty unequivocal. As I mentioned earlier, there's no exemptions, and there's really not an opportunity or a forum to appeal, even if there is some kind of ongoing treatment. Now, things might change as medicine evolves and the condition also evolves. Things may change in the future, but for the time being, the law remains as is, even though it's dated 2008. It's the same process and the same sort of strict application applies. So that's HIV. With regards to the second condition that's worth highlighting is tuberculosis. Now, TB is handled somewhat differently, and that's also as per Article 2, but it's Article 2.3, and that specifically focuses on tuberculosis. And at a high level, if an expat is found to have an old or active TB, they're also initially deemed unfit. So that's the initial process. However, there is an exception. If the individual complies with supervised treatment under the government's what's called a DOTS or DOTS program, which is directly observed treatment program, they may be granted a one-year residence visa with the phrase on the visa is subject to treatment as stated on the medical certificate. And in general terms, if you are granted a visa of that type, you are required to undergo and complete that supervised treatment, and failure to attend any of these sort of like three consecutive follow-up visits, for example, as per the law, will result in the person being declared unfit, medically unfit, and the visa will not be renewed. There are exemptions to TBs, and that applies to certain categories of individuals. And they're exempt from TB health requirement altogether, and Article 2.3E, there's a fairly simple. There's a list of requirements, but there are exemptions. In other words, those who are applying for these kinds of residence visas, and I'll mention them shortly, do not need to go through TB screening. So it's not like go through the TB screening and they test positive and they're okay, but it's just they don't even need to go through the screening. And that's diplomats, but that has to be upon the recommendation from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Also, immediate family members of UAE residents, such as spouses, children, and parents, and then major investors, which are subject to approval by local authorities. That's a little more Emirate dependent and the visa dependent. And also there's any other group of that may be designated by the joint committee that's formed under the Ministry of Health. But in all such exempt cases, the individuals must still undergo mandatory medical monitoring, and that's in the event that they do test positive to TB. So TB is still considered as a serious medical condition that requires special handling and treatment, but it is not a categorical denial of residency application, as the medical condition does not necessarily automatically deem somebody unfit, especially depending on the type of visa they're applying for. The next one is the hepatitis B and C, and that's the next category, which is quite important and comes up more often than I guess one would think, because we've had in our practice, we've had a number of clients who've come to us with these queries, and that's basically hepatitis B and C are job-based testing. So in other words, it depends on their occupation. So as per Article 2.2a, there is a whole sort of list of profession which requires testing for hepatitis B and C. And those are, there's babysitters and domestic workers and the like, nursery and kindergarten supervisors, workers in barbershops, beauty salons, and health clubs. And so this, by the way, this particular paragraph applies to both hepatitis B and C. So, for example, for babysitters, the examination is for hepatitis B. And then for domestic workers, again, it's hepatitis B. For nursery and kindergarten supervisors, it's hepatitis B. Workers in barbershops, beauty salons, and health clubs, it's hepatitis B and C. And then workers in health facilities, it's equally so, it's for hepatitis B and C. So these are basically the categories, and then there could be other medical professionals as well. Those are the categories that of professionals that are required. So if you're applying for a residence visa on the basis of your occupation and basically ultimately applying here to work here, you will be tested for hepatitis B and C depending on what you're applying for. As I say that, I do want to kind of stop here for a second because it also, what we can see, although the law says that these are specific tests, that these specific expats will have to test if they're applying for this list of occupation. However, from what we can tell is that it's as a general rule, these tests are also included in for all expats that are applying for medical, so for the residency as part of the medical examination. In other words, as part of the blood test that they take, they also test for hepatitis B and C, and therefore a lot of expats, a lot of those applying for residencies or renewing their residencies, they come up, these tests for hepatitis B and C come up, or the results come up, even if they're not applying for one of these, for these positions. In other words, and we've had, for example, a client who was a partner who's setting up a business here, and as part of his investor visa application, so he was applying for residency visa on the basis of being an investor in the business in the UAE, and he was, as part of his medical examination, he was also tested for hepatitis, although he wasn't applying for any one of these specific conditions. And so this is where it's important to highlight that the UAE, as I mentioned earlier, since it's a federal country, and it's a country of seven emirates, so the resident application process happens and is governed by a specific emirate where you're applying to either work or live. And perhaps the application of the law or the procedural management or implementation of the law applies slightly different depending on the emirates. So, for example, some emirates take a more conservative approach and they screen everybody for this whole palette of medical conditions, whether they are irrespective of what position they're applying. Other emirates, and depending on a number of other factors, may apply a more limited approach and only test test, for example, for hepatitis B and C, only those who are specifically applying for these kinds of jobs, which are the babysitters, domestic workers, nursery and kindergarten staff, and salon and health club workers, and medical professionals. So it really, it's not so much in is sort of expressed in the law, but in practical terms, that's what it means. And we had an example of this client who had a choice to apply for residency either in Sharjah, for example, or in Dubai, in the Emirate of Dubai. And we were at the time kind of learning how, for example, Sharjah and Dubai, for somebody who was an investor in a business and didn't really fall into that list of designated professions that are required to undergo this screening, how different emirates would, for example, draw different medical examination or conduct different medical examinations. So there's a little bit of a difference amongst the emirates. Some of this is continues to evolve. And also because there are so many different types of visas now as compared to when, for example, this particular example or this particular client that we assisted. And because there is this, as I mentioned earlier, there's this joint committee that also has the authority to set either exemptions or special treatment or exceptions for certain kind of types of visas and types of expats applying. So there's a little bit of flexibility, if you will. But generally speaking, it is a known fact that and everyone who is applying to the UAE to apply sort of as to be a resident in the UAE need to be prepared that even if they're applying, for example, as a dependent of someone, that they chances are that they will be tested for all of these hepatitis B and C as well. So even if they're not applying to be specifically to have this employment visa for one of these positions, from what we have seen so far, it's most of the time there's the general the test that includes the medical test that includes it also includes the hepatitis B and C. Now, as a result of that, it does not necessarily to say that if, for example, you're applying as a dependent of someone, in the process there is a report that you have hepatitis B, for example. That's not to say that you will be denied a visa, but in this case, so the job categories will come in, will be critical, because if you're not applying to work, so there is, at least the law allows for these types of residents or this type of applicants to have residency in the UAE as long as they don't work in any of these conditions or in these professions. So just to kind of summarize it, even though you're not applying for any one of these specific occupations, you need to be prepared that you may be tested for these conditions as well. So if you know outright that you may have one of these conditions, hepatitis B or hepatitis C, in that previous case, the client had hepatitis C, had another client who had hepatitis B, and they knew ahead of time. So that's not to say that they will not be tested because they're not applying for this position. They need you need to prepare that you will be tested, but as part of the result, it's not to say that your application will be necessarily denied, because that's where the purpose of your residency and other factors surrounding your residency will come into play. And in fact, what the law does address is that if you test positive, for example, in applying for an employment visa in one of these sectors, one of these roles, the residency will not be granted or renewed unless you change your job category within 30 days. And that's specifically mentioned in Article 2.2b. So just to give you an idea that chances are you will get residency visa as long as you are, if the authorities are assured that you will not be working in one of these controlled professions. Let's say if you've tested negative afterwards, you also must, you need to sometimes go through the hepatitis B vaccine or provide a vaccination certificate at the time of renewal. And then without the certificate, you must retake the vaccine or risk, rejection. So that's in the event that you've basically been treated and and then again, perhaps... the authorities want to make sure they monitor that you continue to stay free of of the infection. So in some cases, for example, especially with infection like hepatitis B, some of these conditions might have been from childhood and they're completely inactive and they're not sort of communicable, if you will. So therefore, the way the law is drafted and the way the authorities apply it is just there's very good chances that that person will have the residency granted, but it is important that they understand what the law is and that they're going to proceed with full knowledge, because it may be that they will either be required to submit additional documents or certain clarifications before their residency is granted. The next category is leprosy and syphilis. So under Article 2.4, that anyone who tests positive for leprosy is immediately deemed unfit. And the residency will be denied for all categories, no exceptions. As for syphilis, for example, Article 3 limits testing to the same job categories listed for hepatitis B, which are, as I mentioned earlier, babysitters, domestic workers, nursery and kindergarten staff, salon and health club workers, and also and other types of medical professionals. So anybody who has syphilis in any one of these categories will be denied a residency. Ultimately they're declared unfit. And then the final, I guess, testing is the pregnancy screening. But that pregnancy screening, and that's also the reason we talk about it in this podcast, is because it is mentioned in the same law. That's under Article 5. So the pregnancy screening really only applies to a certain category of workers, and they are called the domestic workers. These are nannies and babysitters, nurses that sort of live at home and take care of families. So the pregnancy testing is required only for them, for this very, very specific category. They also may include like cleaners and drivers and nannies. So it's domestic workers. The UE has a specific law on domestic workers, and it has a list of who is considered to be a domestic worker. And as I mentioned earlier, so they be babysitters, they're nannies, they are cleaners, drivers, and such. So all of them, as part of their application or renewal or first-time application, residence application, they are required to go through the pregnancy test, and there that's where the urine test takes place. However, this just being pregnant, for example, does not disqualify the applicant from the application. So it's less about this being medically unfit. The law does not prohibit for them to have their residency, but it leaves the final decision to the sponsor. So what that means is that, let's say somebody's applying for a nanny position, to work for a family or to work for an agency that contracts out domestic employees. So it will be, they are considered the sponsor, it will be the family or the agency will be considered the sponsor, and it will be up to them to decide whether they want to proceed with the application of this particular nanny, let's say, if she's pregnant. And that obviously comes up in the context of most frequently with nannies who often work for the same family for many years. And so it's understandable that at some point in time they may want to have a family of their own if they hadn't before. And so this is where the law allows for that family to make a decision and to ultimately leave the choice to them as to whether they want to renew that nanny's residency, or because now she's pregnant, or whether they want they want to ultimately end it because their pregnancy, perhaps pregnant condition, would interfere with their job role. And that's ultimately the objective of this particular medical screening for this job category. That's with regards to the medical conditions or that may consider somebody either unfit to apply for residency or may require additional approvals or documents before the application proceeds. Now, where with regards to just kind of how it's administered, so where are these tests done? So all medical examinations must be conducted exclusively at government-authorized preventive medicine centers, and as is stated in the law. So which means that tests from private facilities or from abroad will not be accepted. And again, because residency is processed within each emirate, the implementation of these requirements may vary slightly depending on the local health authority practices. So for example, some emirates may be more stringent in enforcing follow-ups or documenting vaccine compliance. While the federal law sets the baseline, the day-to-day application can differ depending on your residency and where, on where the type of residency and where it is being processed in particular, which emirate. But what I want to just kind of highlight once again is that the medical certificate, even if it's a brand new medical certificate from a foreign health facility or institution, will not be accepted in the UAE. So all of this specific government mandated medical facilities that are very conveniently located kind of throughout each emirate. So they're the ones who are designated to not only conduct these tests, but they're also so well integrated with other government agencies. As I mentioned earlier, that basically communication between these agencies or authorities is very smooth and almost immediate. So, for example, there's even like this called a VIP service for those who want to pay extra for their medical tests to come out earlier. So there's special centers that are located in kind of in many different places around each emirate, and then you go, but they're all government mandated, right? The specific center. So you go in there, you pay extra money, and you get your test result that same day, and that basically gets communicated to the next authority. In most cases, it's the immigration authorities. So it's all very smoothly and well coordinated and integrated as part of as this whole residency application process, in which for those who've been in the UAE for a long time, like myself, is quite refreshing and exciting to observe, because it's so smooth and it's so efficient now as compared to how things used to be before. Before, you had to go and stand in line, book an appointment, stand in line sometimes for hours to get your medical test done. And there were no sort of VIP centers for certain categories. You couldn't even pay for anything extra. And then you'd have to wait for sometimes weeks for the test to come out. And then when the results come out, you have to go pick it up and then physically go to take a different authority. But these days, it's so, again, the UAE has embraced the smart government and the digital world to the maximum in terms of making all of these services so conveniently accessible and for the residents. So it's all part of a very smooth process. But in the context of this discussion today, this means that there's no way to kind of circumvent the process. You cannot bring a medical certificate from any other facility unless it's part of this sort of network. So, in terms of the validity of the medical report, this is also important. That's addressed in the law. There is a 3 months validity period. So, in other words, if you need to apply for the medical certificate, it's good for 3 months before it expires, and you need to apply again. What that means is sometimes people will, for example, get their medical certificate first because they know that they'll be traveling, and by the time they come back, they will want maybe they'll apply for the renewal a little later. So, or if it's first time application, they can come in here, they can do their medical, and then they still have 3 months for this medical certificate. To be able to use this medical certificate as part of their either first-time application or renewal. So that's an important kind of perhaps small but often a valuable data point for those who are applying. And finally, there's also a specific provision in the law that makes it very clear, and we've seen it in practice, that all these results are logged in a kind of centralized medical register. And with the authorities maintaining detailed statistics on disqualified applicants by nationality, age, gender, and type of disease. It's not like that if you test in one place, in one emirate, that somehow that result will not be communicated to the other emirates. So it is a centralized database of information. So final thoughts. So the bottom line is the residency in the UAE is not just a legal formality. It is a process with mandatory medical requirements backed by Cabinet Resolution Number 7 of 2008. And the type of medical screening depends on your profession, nationality, and the emirate in which you apply. And while some conditions result in automatic disqualification, such as HIV, others like TB or hepatitis B may be handled through supervised treatment programs with limited term visas and follow-up obligations. Therefore, understanding the nuances, especially the Emirate-specific application of the law, is key to navigating the process smoothly and legally. And that's all for today's episode of Logical. If you found this useful and you would like and you like what we do, you can always find more on our website, which is lylawyers.com. We are also on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And for the full experience, you can watch our video podcast on YouTube. Until next time, stay informed, stay safe, and keep things logical.